time for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. We are here on a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. So, Steve, what do we have for...
Well, we've been awfully lucky this fall. We've had some tremendous weather.
Has been nice. I've been able to get my whole hill dug up and replanted.
Yeah, it's just...
And I think Nature's Green is bringing me some mulch next week.
I understand Nature's Green is bringing you some mulch, and we really appreciate that. It's just been a really nice fall. There's still... You know, I know it's football season and everybody's, you know, well, now it's, you know, holiday season.
Yeah.
So people are they're supposed to be getting ready. But
yeah,
our little dictator here in Ohio, our little Napoleon here in Ohio is telling us what we can and can't do for the holidays. That's a topic for another day. I mean, there's still lots to do outside. I mean, the lawns are still actually actively growing. You know, I know mine recovered really well this summer, and I did a little fertilization, and it's just really doing well. Was hoping today I could do some mowing and vacking because I've got some leaves and stuff collecting. Depending on what the weather does, that's still on my schedule to do. Still, like I said, a lot of things that can be done yet this season. I think we talked a number of weeks ago about hollow tine corerating, and it's a perfect time of year to do that. There's certainly no issues with that. Cooler temperatures doesn't make a lick of difference, and also it's a good time because we do have a decent amount of soil moisture. We've had some showers blow through here and there, so the ground's not rock hard like it was earlier this fall. So doing a hollow tine corerating is going to be tremendous for your lawn going forward. When I say hollow tine, you want the ones that have that pulls the cores out of the ground. There are spike type aerators. And the spike type aerators work fine, but it really doesn't alleviate soil compaction. It will open, obviously, holes in the ground that allows oxygen and moisture to get down to the roots. Roots do take in oxygen, so when you have a really heavy clay soil that's really compact, that's why plants, lawns, tree shrubs, whatever, don't grow very well because it's just too compact. Corerating alleviates that. It opens the ground up. Again, allows the moisture and the fertilizer to get to the roots. It also will promote a lot more dense root system, which, you know, obviously is going to create a lot healthier plant. So corerating is great. I know it wasn't last season. I think it was the season before. I aerated. Again, we had a really mild fall, and I aerated my yard on. I remember it was Thanksgiving morning. I finally had a day off, and yeah. The weather was perfect. So I ran out to the nursery and grabbed some equipment and came home and aerated mine on Thanksgiving morning.
Let me ask you real quick. Core aerators, you have one because that makes sense. Do normal people have those, or is that something you would rent from somewhere, or is it something that you would have a service like Nature's Green or any of the other landscape companies around?
Any lawn service is better have a core aerator. Any good lawn service should have a core aerator. Most of your lawn services around here will have them, and it's not expensive. I mean, for a typical in-home lawn or in-home in-town lawn, I would say $50 to $70 would be the average going price for a typical, you know, home lot.
Okay,
not expensive, and again, really, 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 really beneficial. So you can hire it done. Certainly, it's a matter of Just dragging it or pushing it through your yard. You can rent them at some of the local hardware stores, I believe, St. Henry Hardware, and then a lot of the rental companies will rent them. They're, mm-hmm. if you have a small lawn, they're like a walk behind machine that's, powered, that it will pull itself. If you have a small lawn, that works great. If you've got a bigger lawn, you can use the ones that are like a pull behind your lawnmower. Put a concrete block or two on top of it, because our ground is still pretty heavy clay.
Yeah.
Give it a little extra weight, and then just simply put your earbuds in and drive around in your yard. You can't really do it wrong. You just want to go over the whole lawn. And if your lawn has looked really lousy over the years, and you feel, and it doesn't drain well, it puddles water every place. I mean, go over it two different times. It's not going to hurt anything. You really can't screw it up. with the hollow tine core aerator, you are going to pull the little cores up, and they're going to flip out and lay on top of the ground. They look like little dog turds laying all over your yard. You don't have to rake them up. They are a nuisance when we get rain showers. And if you do have a dog, you take your dog out, they're going to stick to your feet, and you're going to, drag them across your patio or into your garage or whatever. But you don't need to rake them up. Mother Nature will cause them to decompose relatively quickly. And again, it's just a really good practice that's really underutilized in our area. I see every spring more people out rolling, which rolling actually
compacts everything.
Exacerbates a lot of problems that we have with our heavy clay soil, and people are always ready, willing, and able to get out there and roll the living daylights out of their yard. And then in July, wonder why it peters out and turns brown and all the grass dies. Well, that's because
you're... But it makes it nice for riding your lawnmower.
Well, you can mow in fifth gear and not spill your beer, but it's not good for your lawn. It's good for you, I guess, but it's certainly not good for your lawn.
Well, if a lawn's adequate and I'm comfortable, what if that's okay with me?
That's
if a lawn is adequate,
that's fine. Adequate is okay to some people. Corating fertilization, it's still, you can certainly still fertilize. I've had people say, well, you can't fertilize after the first frost, or you can't spray weeds after the first frost, and you can't do this after the first frost. Yeah, that's horse hockey. Fertilization this time of year for your turf, and actually for your trees and shrubs, is fantastic. If you've got trees or shrubs and stuff that's, struggled, everybody remembers to fertilize their lawn, and they're always excited to fertilize their lawn. You get kind of a lot of bang for your buck in that, fertilizer is relatively inexpensive, and you put it on and you really notice your lawn green up, darken up, thicken up. But people don't think about doing that with their landscaping, and landscaping will benefit from fertilization as well. So using a granular fertilizer this time of year, again, fertilizers aren't horribly expensive, $25 to $35 usually for like a 50-pound bag, and it just makes a huge difference. If you're going to spend the time, all the time to corerate, you really want to spend the time to fertilize that as well. And when we get into, talking about fertilization, doing a soil test is always the best place to start. Take a core out and have it, taken to one of the local mills or Brookside Lab over in New Bremen. Do a really good job, and they're very reasonably priced. Have them check that core and see what's in there as far as nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, pH, macro elements, micro elements, CEC. There's just a lot of things you can, and a lot of good information you can get. And then that kind of helps you purchase the right fertilizer, and then also, the right amount of fertilizer. So again, very easy to do. Nowadays, obviously, you can run your core sample to any of your local people that will do your your soil tests, and then they can just simply email you all your results. And it's a good idea. But again, if you're going to spend the time to aerate, you really want to spend the time to fertilize. And fertilizing, again, right now is really one of the, I mean, if not the best, it's close to the best time of year to get that application on your lawn.
You also said you can put do fertilizer on your landscaping plants. Do you put that on top of mulch, or you kind of scrape the mulch away and put some, or does it make much difference?
Well, again, this time of year, certainly the best way to do it is if you've recently mulched, is to kind of scrape the mulch back and apply the fertilizer around the plant. Don't, especially if it's an evergreen, don't drop it onto the plant. I mean, it is pretty late in the season. But it can, if you just dump it straight on top of the plant, you can, the nitrogen can burn the foliage, and so you want to be careful to apply it, what we say is around the drip edge of the plant, so kind of around the plant itself. And yes, mulch can tie up due to, you know, the chemistry and how everything reacts together. Mulch can tie up some nutrients, specifically nitrogen, in the organic matter that is your mulch. And so, again, scraping it back and applying it around, scraping the mulch back and applying it directly to the soil surface and then pushing the mulch back is certainly the best way to do it.
Okay.
Or kind of trying to, you know, take a rake or a garden weasel or something and kind of working it into the ground is going to give you better results. It's going to get into the soil horizon and in the soil, and with the moisture, it's going to percolate down and get to the roots faster.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you throw it on top of the mulch, but you know there's some rain coming that's going to seep it down through, but then you're kind of depending on Mother Nature to fix your problem. So sometimes if you know that's right, I guess that could probably work, but it's better to put a little extra effort in and
if you know the showers are coming, which it sounds like we're going to get some fertilization, it will, the moisture is going to cause the granulars to melt and work their way down into the soil relatively quickly. But again, fertilizing your tree, shrubs, perennial flowers, everything, this is a great time of year to do that. And again, like chlorinating, I think is really kind of underappreciated and underutilized in the landscaping.
Yeah, and I know that the plants are still alive and growing, because I had some irises that sat in my yard for 3, 4, 5 weeks. Finally got them planted last week. I think it was Saturday or Sunday, and they're growing.
Yep. Well, the temperatures haven't been really, that hateful. We've had some cold nights. We've had some, a killing frost. We've had some cool temperatures. But overall, the daytime highs are really not bad. And what's really still warm is the soil.
Yeah.
And so if you plant something, you may not necessarily see a bunch of top growth, but being that the soil is really warm, there's still a lot of activity going on, growing, taking in nutrients, water, stuff. The roots are still very, very, very active, and they will stay active until, the cold really
hits
its way into the soil, and then it has to work its way down through the soil. And so roots are, and again, that's why it's such a great idea. And again, I mentioned this a few weeks back, and I want to reiterate, that's why it's so important when, to fertilize in the late season, in the late summer, and all through the fall. Like right now, again, that fertilizer is going to be picked up very quickly by your tree, shrubs, perennials, lawn, everything. And that food is going to be stored, and it's going to, make fat, happy roots. And especially with your lawn, you're not going to see that lawn growing that you're mowing like you are in May, that you're mowing three nights a week to try to keep up. It's not really going to affect the top growth much at all, but it's going to affect the growth below ground, which is really what you want to promote this time of year. And then again, in the spring, you're going to get really early green up, and then you're going to get a really, you know, healthy turf that's gonna grow and take off versus, well, you know, screw it, I'm not doing anything this fall, I'll do it in the spring. Okay, that's fine. You put all that fertilizer on in the spring, and you're not going to be promoting any healthy root development. You're going to be promoting a tremendous amount of top growth. And what that yep. means is you're going to be mowing three nights a week, and it's still going to peter out in July because you've been promoting all this top growth. You really aren't promoting any root development. So when it gets hot and dry, your roots are still kind of meh. And then,
but what if we like to mow?
Well,
and put those nice stripes and so forth in your lawn. You get
I'm
to
guilty.
Do that three times a week.
I'm guilty. I like my lawn being really thick and dark green, and I actually really enjoy mowing. I think, you know, maybe someday I'll end up being like Forrest Gump, and I'll just get myself a fancy Toro, and I'll just mow for the school and mow for whoever, you yeah. know, just because. And a lot of, you know, I'm about as bright as Forrest Gump a lot of days too, so it would work out, and I look good in a hat. So
yeah, a lot better in a hat than.
Right.
Without,
I look good in a hat, and I've got the right face for radio, too,
yeah.
I've been
yeah.
told. So, you know, again, yeah, if you like mowing, and there's, you know, and there's lots
but
of...
But you can do both.
Yeah.
You can fertilize in the fall, get the great roots.
Yep.
Fertilize in the spring and get the great...
Yeah, that's, you know, blades. Again, that was our kind of been our topics this whole, you know, late season has been there's so many things to do in the fall that are really, really good and beneficial and helpful. And, you know, it's all stuff that people get excited to do in the spring. And then by this time of year, they're kind of their enthusiasm is waning a bit. And
yeah.
So yep. it's like, oh, well, just wait and put that off till spring. Well, you know, how about if you do a few things this fall and then there's less to do in the spring.
Yeah. You can go golfing or fishing or
that's right.
Or just sit and watch baseball or whatever you want to do.
That's right.
So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with a little bit more of A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone right after this.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
The Fort Recovery American Legion, along with the Red Cross, will be hosting a blood drive on Monday, November 23rd from noon to 6 p.m. Appointments are recommended, so call 1-800-RED-CROSS or go to redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code AMLEGFREC to schedule your donation appointment, but walk-ins are also welcome. There's always a need for blood, no matter what time of year, so give life and donate blood at the Legion's Blood Drive on Monday, November 23rd between noon and 6 p.m. and help the Red Cross save lives. Make your appointment now at 1-800-RED-CROSS or at redcrossblood.org and use the sponsor code AMLEGFREC.
Welcome back to A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and we're talking about fall stuff.
Fall stuff.
Believe it or not. Well, besides Ohio State football, this should be a good game this afternoon with Indiana.
It's going to be a going to be a tremendous game this afternoon.
Obviously, I'm a Buckeyes fan, but I don't mind. I like that Indiana finally has a really good team.
I mean, obviously, where we're at here in Fort Recovery, I mean, I've got tons of friends that are, you know, huge IU fans. And I usually say,
that's nice.
IU alum. And, you know, I've never had any trouble with IU fans, usually because their football team's really bad.
Yeah. Now, a lot of times their basketball team is outstanding and a lot of times better than Ohio State's. And yeah. I'm okay with that because I'm a Kentucky basketball fan, Ohio State football fan.
But, yeah, it's exciting. I mean, really, really, really exciting for IU to be, you know, as good as what they are. And they are outstanding. I mean, I'm, you know, as long as we've been Ohio State fans forever, literally forever. And you always look at their schedule and you're like, boy, that Michigan game's going to be tough. And recently, the last 10 years, you know, boy, that Penn State, that's going to be a tough game. And then D'Antonio is at Michigan State. Yeah. You're like, man, I hate going up and playing up there. Man, D'Antonio is such a good coach and we're going to struggle. But you never say, oh, we got to play IU today. That's going to be a really hard game.
Yeah. And usually that's the game that most, the away game that most Ohio State fans will go to. It's fairly close.
Oh, yeah.
And they usually aren't very good, so they don't have any fans, and they're happy to have Ohio State fans come in there and fill up their stadium.
Yeah, I've been
That's
to,
not going to be, well, Kurt, nobody can go anymore, but
right.
that wouldn't be the case this year. We couldn't get an Ohio State fan in there this year.
It's funny, and IU is. I've been to, I think, most all of the Big Ten games. I've been to an away game for every team in the Big Ten except for Rutgers and Michigan. I haven't been to the Big House, which is close.
Yes.
It's just uncomfortable.
Yes.
But I've been to IU a million times, and it's a home game for Ohio State. If you've ever been there, it's a home game for Ohio State. We will have 60 to 70% of the fans, and we'll sell their stadium out every year.
Yep.
And it's fun. You know, it's always fun. So if
you could have fans in the stands this year, you might not get 60 Ohio State fans because Indiana would fill that up.
Yeah, they have a,
and I am happy for them.
I am too. They have a fantastic coach. They really got that program. Obviously they have the program. It's in the top 10. They haven't been in the top 10 since 1969.
I'm surprised it's been that recently.
Yeah, Lee Corso
being over there.
Yeah.
And my favorite thing on Sunday morning was
getting up and listening to the Lee Corso show.
Oh, I love that.
Every Sunday morning.
He was so funny. He was a great, he might not have been a great coach. He was a great personality.
Well, he certainly is. It's pretty safe to say he's a lousy coach, but everybody likes him because everybody likes him on game day.
Yeah.
He is a good guy. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be, it's just going to be a fantastic game. I mean, they've got just an unbelievable amount of momentum coming into Columbus today. You know, this season, you really can't say anybody's got a home field advantage.
Yeah.
Because
there's no fans, no band.
There's no fans. There's no band. There's no nothing, which is utterly ridiculous.
1,500 people.
Which is utterly ridiculous, and that's another topic for another day. You can't put 10,000 people in our stadium that holds 100,000.
Yeah, can't. In our stadium here at Fort Recovery, you can put 15% in.
Oh, that's stupid.
And that's at least sort of reasonable. So why don't they let 15% in a gigantic place?
I don't know. It's crazy. But anyhow, I mean, it's going to be noon kickoff. It's really going to be a tremendous game. IU has really got things going with their offense. Their offense, their quarterback, their receivers play is tremendous. I mean, our offense is fantastic, too.
Yes.
You certainly don't want to get into a shootout with them. I hope that our defense and our DBs can, hopefully they're better than most teams they've played so far, and we can slow them down because they haven't been slowed down yet.
Yeah.
So I think we have a better defense and a better defensive coordinator that, since they've had 2 weeks off, they better have been looking at a lot of tape and figuring out how to slow those guys down, because you just don't want to get into a shootout with them, because it's
you don't know what's going to happen when it goes that way.
For sure.
I think I've read where the Buckeyes are almost a 3-touchdown favorite.
I honestly haven't heard the line at all, and that surprises me, because
I was thinking 7-10 something like that.
Maybe. I would say a touchdown. I'm 100% in agreement. A touchdown to 10 points would be what I would. Yeah, you know, that's big. Saying we're gonna hang more than that on them, 21's a lot.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really a lot.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that I believe I heard this stat this week. In fact, I think it was Bubba that maybe said it on Sports Talk this week, that Ohio State's quarterback has more touchdown passes than incomplete passes. Most of the time you compare touchdown passes to interceptions. He has more touchdown passes than incomplete passes.
Well, the I can't remember the first.
He goes 20 for 22 just about every game. It's crazy.
What was the first or second game we played? He only had one incomplete pass.
Yeah.
For the game.
Yeah.
And the incompletion that they gave him, Olave had the ball in his hands in the end zone and was absolutely obliterated by a DB and dropped the ball.
Yeah.
So is that an incomplete pass or is that a drop ball? I mean, we're splitting hairs, but they did give him one incomplete pass, and Olave did have the ball, and it was a touchdown, but he got lit up in the end zone and ended up dropping it. And he's
it's freakish.
His skills are it's not a normal season by any stretch, but his skill set and his skills and his accuracy. And then you got to give credit to the receivers.
Absolutely, because those receivers can drop stuff. I mean, that happens all the time, and our receivers are so good. But they're not dropping them. It's like they're like whoever he's throwing to, they're both thinking with the same brain.
Is it that, or is our equipment guy putting pine tar on all their gloves?
You still got to get it to them, and they still have to hang on to it after they get hit, which sometimes doesn't work with Olave.
They're watching them play, which again, maybe some of the competition hasn't been the best, but they are freakishly efficient.
Yes,
with passing the ball, and
the run game's decent.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to get to be completely one sided there with one dimensional with the offense. But they're fun to watch.
Yeah,
I mean, they're absolutely fun to watch. Whether you like them or you don't like them, the Buckeyes, you have to appreciate the fact that they are outstanding. But that's not to say that you're gonna have a bad game, and IU could come in and upset us real easy. Real easy.
If they take IU for granted like they've been able to the last 50 years, that's not gonna work in their favor.
That's for sure.
And something else I heard is that somebody said what's the Buckeyes record now?
4-0.
So I think somebody said two more COVID cancellations and we don't qualify for the national championship. BCS, that you have to have 6 games.
I heard the exact same thing. Somebody said that Maryland cancellation was a covert operation to get us under that plateau of so many games, which would put IU immediately into the Big Ten championship and blah 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 blah. I did hear that, and I like to think that's
I would think that a college, no matter how much money they were given, under the table or however. Would a legitimate college would never consider something like that?
Well, I would think so. And I then, mean, that just, that's you know, just again, ridiculous. Maryland's playing well.
Yes, they
I
are.
Mean, they're playing really well.
Yes,
and so I mean, I think we could have beaten them relatively easily. But if you look at the way they played this year, they're not a pushover either.
Yeah, the Buckeye Roundtable or whatever it is that they have on Monday night, you know, the way they were talking the Monday before it got canceled on Tuesday or Wednesday was, this one's going to be one of the ones we get to find out if we're good. We thought that was going to be Penn State, and that just ended up being, you know, there's going to be somebody else. And this one, you know, Maryland's playing really well, and we need to have this game under control so we can prove to ourselves that we can play against a really good team.
Absolutely.
So Maryland was playing well, and so then everything gets switched to Indiana, and obviously they're playing really
they're,
well.
They're the real deal, for sure.
Yep.
I think we should start a petition here in Ohio. We need to start collecting money, and we need to ship it to Ann Arbor, and we want to keep Harbaugh there. We don't want him to leave. He's the best darn coach. I love Harbaugh at Michigan. Love him. We need to keep him there forever.
Yeah, somebody told me, I didn't get to see it, but somebody said your Aunt Mary had a great post. Do you know what it was?
No, I do not.
She said the post was, Harbaugh's terrible. What's going on at Michigan? You know, they need to fire him. And I hope they never do.
Right.
Or words to that effect.
Right.
He needs to be fired, but I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, he's...
That's great. I mean, he was a good coach other places.
Yeah, his seat's feeling a little toasty warm right now. I don't know. Like I said, if you would have... And this year's just crazy. I mean, obviously it is. But, I mean, how many years... In the past, would you go back and you would say, well, you know, we have to worry about, you know, IU and Maryland and Michigan and Penn State, those will be a piece of cake, you know, which I shouldn't say that because we have not played Michigan yet.
Correct. And they may get really fired up because they have done that in the past. And
they
were not even in the top 25 and beat us when we were in the top five.
Absolutely. So. And so. You never, ever, ever take Michigan for granted. And, and 1968. You know, the year I was born, we won with the super sophomores, and then the next year we were supposed to be the 69 was supposed to be our year that we were going to be completely unstoppable. Although we did win the national championship in 68, that was a year before we were supposed to win the national championship. So the super sophomores were either juniors or seniors, and at that point, or what they called the super sophomores, and. And then 69, we go undefeated, and Michigan has nothing to play for. And I think it was, 10-6 or 12-7 or pretty low scoring. Anyhow, we get beat. And so you never know.
Yep.
You never know.
So, well, that was sports talk.
That was fun. Yes. You mean we have to talk about have to talk about lawns?
We don't have to. I don't have to be anywhere for a couple hours, so we can do whatever we want. Do you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, we'll take a break, and then we'll try to get back on topic.
Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery and a new wardrobe, but that's not what would make people love you. Now, a new brick paver patio, that would be a start. Maybe a fireplace. Oh, I know, a fire pit and a water feature. Oh, you're going to be so loved. Forget the gray-haired dude on TV selling online romance. Have Kurt and Eric, the real artist at Nature's Green, give you the makeover that will make you and your home irresistible. Nature'sGreenNursery.com.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
It's time to get ready for Thanksgiving, and Wayne Street Market has everything you need. And if you spend $100 or more on the day before Thanksgiving, you'll be entered into their drawing to win a $50 gift certificate. There are great prices on lots of the things you need for the big feast. Pies, fresh vegetables, ham, turkey rolls, and lots more. It's all there. And don't forget their no-limit meat sale. $2.79 a pound for Cooper Farms turkey rolls, $5.99 a pound for T-bones, $6.99 a pound for ribeyes, and lots more. And they have one-pound bags of salted and unsalted in-the-shell peanuts for only $1.99. Get to Wayne Street Market for all your Thanksgiving supplies and spend $100 or more on Wednesday, and you could win a $50 gift certificate. Great selection, great prices at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more. Closed Thanksgiving Day.
Still a select number of raffle tickets remaining to purchase for the 2021 Win on Wabash Super Raffle. The raffle will occur August 27th and 28th, 2021 in Fort Recovery and will feature 211 prizes valued at $650,000, including 3 vehicles, 8 trips, 50 firearms, golf carts, ATVs, a camper, a boat, and other cash and prizes. Check out our website, wowraffle.com, or our Facebook page at Wow Raffle for the complete list of businesses that are selling tickets or purchase directly through our website. Don't miss out on the opportunity to win some awesome prizes at the 2021 Win on the Wabash. Get your tickets now.
We're back. We were talking a little football off the air, too. Somehow we can't get off of football and back to where we're supposed to go. But I'll let you say whatever you want to about football or lawns or landscaping or anything else or snow removal.
Well, let's hope we don't. I like snow, but not here.
Yeah.
I like snow when I'm in the mountains.
You like to go visit snow.
I like to visit snow. And so, yes. Actually, yes, Vail opened yesterday. The Vail's first...
They've opened the Vail.
Vail's open. Breckenridge is open.
What's Breckenridge? I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, Breck is in...
Oh, Breck. We're on...
Breckenridge.
We're on nickname basis.
I can tell you. I can tell you all about that, too. Breckenridge was established in like 1860, and it's like
they didn't have snow then.
It was an old mining town that ended up being kind of a ski town, and so it's really old school. It's really pretty. It's got all these old buildings. It's just really wild.
So it's
a neat ski area. It's about 20 minutes off of I-70 in the Silverthorne Dillon area out in Colorado, and then Vail was established in 1963 or 64.
Oh.
And Vail's real hoity-toity.
And
Breck is more kind of laid back, kind of old school, completely different. But, I mean, they both have phenomenal ski areas. But anyhow, yes, the ski slopes are opening. So, yeah, that's why I keep track of that in Ohio. I'm not real sure. But
because you're not quite as busy in the winter as you are in the summer. So
well, my buddy from college, Brian, that grew up in Ohio, he lives out in Colorado now. So I have an excuse and an easy place to stay. So I go visit him every winter, purposely every winter. And
well, you're too busy in the summer.
I always ask him, last time I was out there, I asked him, I said, so dude, when are you coming back to Ohio? As you know, we're riding the chairlift up the mountain in Vail. And he said, Steve, look around you. He said, I live in Disneyland. He said, do you think I'd ever come back to Ohio after being out here? And I'm like, I look around, I'm like, yeah, that's a good point.
Except it's cold. Like cold.
He loves skiing and he loves hunting. So he is
that's kind of where he is then, isn't it?
Yeah, he's pretty happy out there. So, which makes, like I said, good for me because I can go out and hang out. And in the day, he's kind of gotten to the point where he doesn't work winters anymore because it cuts into his ski time.
So what does he do for a living?
He has a landscaping business.
Huh. Yeah, you can't do much landscaping with snow on the ground.
Correct. But he used to work at any of the ski shops in town, and so we could. And it's amazing out there what a couple cases of beer will get you at a ski shop when your buddy's managing it. So we'd get skis and boots and anything we wanted for a couple cases of beer. But now, since he's quote unquote retired from that, we have to pay for our skis now. But whatever,
it'll be okay.
We'll get by.
Well, I think I noticed the higher charge on my landscaping this summer, so that'll pay for you. So I'm paying for your skis.
That's right. But yeah, the forecast again looks mild. Looks really mild, actually. Nothing too scary as far as really lousy cold weather, snowstorms, anything like that. And we were talking, before the football break, in regards to getting ready for winter and the stuff you can do. One thing I wanted to mention is if you've got a vegetable garden, and obviously that's come and gone at this point, but you still really need to, just like, in your house, cleanliness is next to godliness. So, pull all the old tomatoes and peppers and squash and whatever, pull all that debris out, gather it up, rake it all up and get rid of it, dispose of it, get it in your compost pile, just get it out of the garden. All that stuff and dead tissue and everything that you leave there has a potential to have disease organisms, inoculum they call it, that will and can infect next season's crop. So if you've got squash or any kind of a vining plant and you've got you've had powdery mildew or downy mildew or anything like that this season, you don't want to leave that foliage there, because that's again a seed, so to speak, inoculum that will and can and will infect your plants next season. So that's why you want to clean all that stuff up, get rid of it, even till the garden under if you've got enough time and energy, just to get it ready for next season.
Would you want to incorporate any fertilizer with it, or is that
incorporating fertilizer,
does that make much difference?
Incorporating, I don't know, fertilizer, I maybe wouldn't do that till spring. Organic matter, any kind of organic matter, leaf compost, some mild, aged manure of any sorts, anything that's got organic matter in it to work into the soil, or even just to spread it across the top of the garden and then till it in the spring. Or again, what we're getting back to with what I'm talking about, organic matter, isn't necessarily, there is nutrients involved in organic matter. Don't get me wrong. There is food in that. But the organic matter is a coarser material that aerates the ground. It's not just all, we get into agronomy, start talking about agronomy. Clay soil is really, 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 really tiny particles. And so when those kind of all get matted together and smashed together, there's no air, there's no looseness. It just is all packed tight. When you incorporate organic matter and you till that up and work that in, you're aerating the soil in that you've got these bigger, when I say big, I'm not talking as big as a quarter, but you've got these bigger particles of organic matter, and it just loosens the ground up. So the roots have someplace to go. And again, you get better, aeration, you get better, oxygenation of the soil, and then you get, again, the water can kind of percolate through. The plants can pick up the water they want. They can pick up the nutrients, but it's not sitting saturated all the time like it can be with clay. So organic matter does two things. It loosens the ground up. It creates a better texture to your soil. And then it also, again, will add some nutrients. So organic matter is great. When I say that, taking your clippings from your lawn that are bright green and throwing them on top of your garden is not organic matter. It is, but it's too fresh.
And it's also similar to leaving your tomatoes and other vines in there. It needs to decompose some.
Correct. And again, so you need to have a compost pile and kind of work that up and add to it and take out over the years. And then, you've got a nice place where you can pull some organic matter compost off of your pile and kind of work it in. But that usually needs to set somewhere between 8 to 12 months before it's ready to kind of reuse. If you're collecting leaves, which is, perfectly fine, that breaks down relatively quickly. Leaves do, and that's a great organic matter for your soils. But again, it has to be 12 months ish before it's ready to use. And one thing that really helps is if you're using a leaf compost, you want to make sure your leaves have been run through, say, like a composting or a lawnmower that kind of shreds everything up. Just big heavy leaves, obviously leaves have a really thick cuticle, which is kind of a waxy layer on the outside of the leaf. If that leaf just lays there, it's going to take a long time for that thing to start to decompose. If you run it through a mulching mower and you get it chopped up in little pieces and then kind of put it in your compost pile, it decomposes very rapidly. So then again, it creates a really, really good organic matter for your lawn or for your landscape beds. Actually, for your lawns too. If you've got really thick, heavy leaves, really thick, you kind of need to rake those up because unless the mulching mowers just simply can't mulch really super thick leaves. But if you're down to the end of the season like we are now and you've got a few leaves here and there and all over, just run through with your mower and just mow them, clip them, mulch them up, and then don't even rake them up. Because again, that will decompose your clippings from your lawn. If it's not too long and you run that through a sharp lawnmower, a sharp bladed composting type of a lawnmower, mulching lawnmower blade, you don't have to pick that stuff up. And over the years, seasons, that adds organic matter to your soil. And it also will give you, I think, if you never pick up your clippings and you mow regularly and you use a mulching type mower, I've read studies that'll say that actually gives you a pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square foot per season. So it's fertilizer.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, that's not too bad. Anything else we want to cover in the next 2 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever to kind of wind up the season?
I can't think of anything. If you're, obviously it's the time of year. I think like Portland, I don't know. Well, we've got soot offs here in north of Fort Recovery, soot off
tree
farm. Mm-hmm. They'll have cut trees this year. And then Portland, Mike Weitzel from Fort Recovery here is the police or the fire chief mm-hmm. Over in Portland. And they do tree sales, Christmas tree sales every year. So if you're getting a cut tree, the way to get your cut tree to last really long for you is after you get your cut tree and you bring it home, even if you don't put it up immediately, you want to clean cut the bottom, and that you could take off a half an inch, whatever, it doesn't matter, but you want to clean cut that stump, and then immediately get it into water, whether, again, you're putting it up in the house or you're just leaving it outdoors for a week and then putting it up. After you clean cut it, you want to get that immediately in water. What happens with pines, firs, any of your evergreens for Christmas trees, spruces, when that's cut, the tree will produce resin, which is a sticky sap, and it kind of closes all that vascular system off. The tree's dead, but it is still trying to close that vascular tissue off so it can't lose moisture out of the stump. And so when you bring it home and you don't clean cut that and you set it in your basin of water, it can't effectively take up any water. If you clean cut that and then put it in water, you're going to be amazed how much water that tree takes up. That vascular system is still going to, the tree's dead, unfortunately, but it's still going to suck water up into the tree through that. And you can get a tree to last easily through Christmas and not go completely to pot on you and lose all of its gets needles in the house, if you clean cut that and then immediately get it into water, because it's going to be able to pull water up through the...
So would you want to put it in like a Christmas tree stand, or just set it kind of on a bucket?
As long as it's in water, that it's going to be able to pull. And then when it's in water, the resin doesn't seep and fill those that vascular tissue, and so it keeps those open, so it can keep pulling new water up. So it doesn't matter as long as. But again, getting a clean cut on the bottom and then immediately getting it into water. If you don't have anything at home to cut with, most of your tree farms, if you buy it, say clean cut the bottom, strap it to the top of your car, take it home, and then immediately put it in water. Or if you've got a saw or a small chainsaw or something at home, just don't let, they don't have to do it when you get it home, clean cut it, stick it in some water, and then get it in the house and decorate it. Mm-hmm. And it's going to last a lot longer and be a lot nicer for a lot longer period of time.
As long as you make sure you keep it watered.
Well, yes, that is a very good point. I'm glad you said that, because I would have forgotten that. You're going to be amazed how fast that tree sucks that water up. I mean, the first couple of nights you have that in the house, you could probably put... That thing's going to take up, I bet, a gallon of water. Even it being that, again, it's dead. So, yes, because if you always want to have water around that stump of that tree, because, again, if you let it go completely dry and then you go 2 or 3 days, oh, crap, I forgot, and then you start dumping water back in it, you've already kind of shot yourself in the foot, because it's already, done its thing and kind of closed that vascular system off. So, again, that just helps you, get that tree through the holidays looking nice, looking fresh, and not losing all of its needles. We used to do Christmas trees, and we don't do them anymore. Cut trees, I would suggest. I know Tyler really well, and he's a good guy. Crazy nut for Christmas. The dude is just loves Christmas.
That's out at Sudoff's?
At Sudoff, yeah. Tyler Sudoff. His dad's Pat, and Tyler's the boy. He lives here in town.
Yeah.
Down by the old elementary school. They have really nice trees, and then, like I said, stop over and give Mike Weitzel a hard time, and maybe he could pick up they usually have Scotch pines, cut Scotch pines over in Portland, and Tyler's going to have cut trees. You're going to be able to grab a saw and take the family and go out and actually physically cut a tree out at Sudoff's, and then they also will have some cut trees, and they'll have Fraser firs out there as well.
So Mike was one of your original employees, or just shortly after you?
Original employee. Mike and I started Nature's Grain out of the back of my pickup truck. He was still in high school.
I was going to say he was 10 or something.
Yeah, he was still in high school, and I had a pickup truck and a little trailer, and I'd run out and pick him up, and we did all kinds of landscape work around town and Coldwater, St. Henry, and he was working at another place here in town while he was in high school. And then when I started Incorporated Nature's Grain in 1994, he and Craig Braun, which used to be live here in town, he lives in Fort Laramie now. We were the three amigos that started Nature's Grain in 90. Mike and I started working together probably in 89, I think. 89. Yeah, 89. We started working together doing landscape work. 89 and 90. And then I graduated from Ohio State in 92 and then incorporated in 1994.
And Craig, let's see. You and Craig both worked at Hastings.
Yep.
You were school. You were the cleanup guy. And I know Carl knew that you knew how to clean a car, because your dad kind of...
Carl, yeah. And it was just Carl's birthday a few months ago, and people were posting, obviously, on Facebook about Carl, and I don't see him as much since he's retired. Well, he's kind of...
Yeah, he spends a lot of time over at the lake.
Sneaks around a little bit, but
still.
Worked at Hastings. That was my first real job. Absolutely loved it.
Because you love clean cars.
Well, the first I remember the
you're
first
really good at it.
I remember the first day I worked up there. He said, "Steve, you got to run up to Napa and you got to get this, 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 and this." And I'm like, "Okay." And I rode my bike to work, and park my bike out front. And I was 16, but I still rode my bike to work. And so I jumped on my bike and rode up to Napa and got all of his crap and put it in my arms and then rode back down to handed it to him. And he said, Steve, we have a pickup truck out back, you can drive that. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I never gave it any thought. I just rode my bike uptown, grabbed what he wanted, and rode back up.
Well,
back
to- you were raised to not just go jump in somebody's vehicle.
But yes, but I did post on Facebook. The only complaint I have about Carl Hastings is he took me skiing the first time to Bell Fountain when I was probably 16 or 17,
he's ruined your life.
It's kind of been an expensive I have expensive habits, hobbies, and I took me one time and I've been absolutely hooked on skiing ever since. So that's Carl Hastings' fault, and that's why I'm out in Colorado every winter, and I'm always looking to get out to the mountains because Carl taught me how to ski when I was 16, and I've been freaking hooked on it ever since. So how'd we get on Carl Hastings?
You and
work.
Craig
both
worked
go.
For him. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah.
So two of the three original Nature's Greens were Hastings.
That's right. We learned a good work ethic.
Yes, perfection.
Perfection
is very important.
That's exactly right. Now,
in some things, it's not. In other, some people don't care about that. But just get my car fixed or get my lawn seeded or whatever. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just throw something out there and that's good enough.
Yeah,
but that isn't how you and or Carl built the business. It wasn't.
And Harold.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Well, Harold didn't build it though. He learned too.
Yeah.
Perfection is very important. That's the whole thing with what they do.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Harold turned out as good as he did, being that he was really good friends with Don Kemper.
Yes, and Doug Collins.
Well, you know,
those three were a little crazy.
Here, this will be a funny story. I really, really hope Don Kemper's listening.
Are you allowed to tell it?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Probably not.
Is it off color?
No, not really. Well, it is to Don.
Oh, well, yeah. We don't care about him.
My brother's boy, Justin, won state championship Friday night. He plays for St. Xavier, and St. Xavier had a huge game and came away with a big win with a state championship. And Dave had a thread going with me and Kevin and Don, and you know, we were all kind of congratulating and talking back and forth via text. And Dave said something like, oh, here's a state championship for our family.
Oh.
And what did Don Kemper say? Well, the Kempers have five. So you can imagine me, Dave, Kevin.
Yeah.
There was a lot of four-letter expletives directed towards him after he comments just a real snarky, well, the Kempers have five. So you know how he is.
And New Bremen won yesterday.
And New Bremen won yesterday.
So awesome! I'm just so happy. I'm glad they had the volleyball success, but they literally 10 years ago had meetings to decide if they were even going to number one keep football as a sport, number two stay in the MAC, and I'm so happy they stayed with that. And now look where they are. The ninth. I thought I had counted eighth, but they're the ninth team in the MAC to win a state championship. Everybody except Parkway, and Parkway almost won could have had a chance at winning the state basketball championship in the spring if they just played.
That was so sad for Parkway. That's such an awesome school. And
there's some really good people up there.
To have that taken away because of that stupid COVID thing was horrible. But yes, you know, the Cardinals, what can you say? That's a huge, huge win.
Yeah.
Huge win for the school, huge win for the MAC.
I just love it. Somebody said, well,
pretty convincing win as well.
Yeah, a little bit.
Pretty convincing.
Especially the beginning of the third quarter was where it really blew out. But you know, somebody over there said, well, you know, we saw this class coming that we think might be some pretty good athletes, girls and boys. And so let's just hang in there and see what we can do. And other people are saying, this is stupid. All we're doing is, you know, we can't get 25 people on a football team.
Yeah.
And that's where Fort Recovery was 10 years ago. And then they got more and more. And I think somebody said they had 60 on their football team, which is awesome.
Well, there's going to be more than that next year, probably.
Yeah. A lot of people are going to want to be involved. Success breeds success. Where we were spinning our wheels and where they were spinning their wheels is you can't win because we don't have enough people, but we don't have enough people because we're not winning, so nobody wants to be involved. And you can't win if you don't have people, and you can't have people if you're not winning. It just kept going around and around and around. We were doing that, they were doing that. Several schools have done that over the years. And then you catch one where you catch a whole bunch of people and you get to 40 or 50, and then the same, yeah, you know, 15 guys aren't playing every play, you know, right. Just, you know, it wouldn't be 15 playing every play, but, you know, there's you get down to, you know, three, four athletes that are playing every play and a bunch of other ones, and everybody's tired by the time you get to the fourth quarter. You can hang in there with about anybody for a half, and third quarter, middle of the third quarter, you start wearing down, and fourth quarter, you're done.
Yeah, somebody needs to write a movie script about the MAC.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. I don't know how much time we got.
I have to be home by noon.
Okay, perfect. Great story for everybody that's listening. I got another really close friend of mine that I went to college with that lives in Cambridge, Ohio, and he's kind of a car nut like me, and he was having a tough time finding somebody to rebuild this motor in this old Jeep. He's got a 43 Willys that was actually in a real Willys Jeep. It was actually in World War II. Documented it was in World War II. So he's trying to get this motor rebuilt, couldn't get it rebuilt, couldn't find anybody that wanted to touch it. Of course, I know this guy and this guy. I'm like, oh, I can get that thing rebuilt, no problem. No worries. Get it to me, and we'll get it rebuilt. So he sends a driver over, and the driver bringing the motor is a retired school superintendent. And he comes, and we meet, and he gives me the motor. You know, those Jeep motors you could about lift up with one hand. I mean, they weren't super fancy. And anyhow, so he goes, where's Maria Stein, where's Marion Local at? And I'm like, oh, it's just right up the road here. He goes, well, I want to drive by, and I want to see their football field. And I'm like, he makes this trek all the way across Ohio. It's a 3.5 hour drive. Could care less about me or the motor or John or anybody, but he knew that he was in Mercer County. He knew the MAC because he was a school superintendent, and I guess he wanted to go to Marion Local and pay homage, you know, to the football field. So I had to give him directions to the football field. He just literally wanted to go through Maria Stein and see Marion Local and wants to see where it happens, you know, as far
and
as
why are they so much better than everybody else? Is it because of this beautiful stadium? Is it because of, you know, this really nice town they live in?
But he spoke of it. He spoke of it as like, you know, I have to pay homage.
Well, like the gym at Hickory.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, you know. And he was am I really that close to Marion Local? And I'm like, yeah, you're like 10 miles from it, dude. Oh, I you know, they're just, we just always heard so much about them and the football program, and it's just, I wanted to actually drive by it. So he drove 3.5 hours. I mean, you could come see our monument in Fort Recovery. Yeah. You could learn about the history of Fort Recovery.
Well, and from where you were to Maria Stein, he has to go through Titletown,
right?
St. Henry with all their, with their 85 state championships.
The dude never mentioned St. Henry, which I don't want to make anybody mad. I'm just telling you, the dude did not mention St. Henry.
Did he even mention Coldwater?
He wanted to see Marion Local.
He didn't even care about Coldwater.
Nope.
Coldwater has been there almost as many times as Marion.
Yep. He said he wanted to see Marion Local. He's had to see Marion Local. And it was, again, you know, he was asking me all these questions, and I'm like, no, it's a that little town, it's right there, you know.
Yeah,
there's the football field. Yeah,
you can see more houses from where you're standing than you'll see in Maria Stein.
So, yeah, that's...
But now when you throw in Chickasaw and Osgood and some of the... and St. Rose and Casella, yeah, then you have a real town, but that's, you know...
Yeah.
It is a community. It is a great community.
Oh, my gosh.
Like all of them around here. Every one is a community. And Larry Brown, Bill Overla, they both said when they came here, where they wanted to be was a place where the school and the community were the same thing. And that's every school around here, every town around here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the school and the community, everything revolves about around the school. You don't make plans without figuring out when this is going on, that's going on.
Right.
So you have to, you can't go on vacation when this season's going on, or you can't do this, or when this game is going on. Yeah. You have to be in town for that.
That's exactly right.
Except for this year, you can go anywhere and can't watch the game anyway. So, yeah. Well, with the NFHS, that helps, but...
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's just... at least I get to go to the games, but that's not fair to anybody else. But so anyway, anything else?
That's a wrap up. That's it. We're a wrap.
Yeah, we're done for the season. We will see you next spring. We'll let you know when we're going to be rolling again, but
probably March.
Yep. Alrighty.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.